This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. A recent horrific attack on a young girl by a pit bull has increased calls for banning or severely regulating the dogs. At the same time, many municipalities here and across the country are eliminating breed-specific regulations. Joining us today to discuss the controversy surrounding the animals and their owners and whether breed-specific regulations are effective, our co-founder of the Cincinnati Pit Crew, a pit bull dog education and advocacy and rescue organization, Katie Blanton, certified professional dog trainer Dara Williams, and joining us on the phone, Dr. Suzanne Hetz and Dr. Daniel Estep of Animal Behavior Associates in Littleton, Colorado. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call in at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. This is a subject that does tend to get heated sometimes. I want to remind people that call in, we're here to have a civil discussion and certainly want to entertain all points of view. But remember, we're here to discuss and not have any screaming matches or anything like that. Thank you all for being here today. Dara and Katie here in the studio. Dara, talk a little bit so we can know what you sound like. We're happy to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Katie, is also here. Katie?
Thank you.
And on the phone, Dr. Hetz and Dr. Estep, can you say hello?
Hello, everybody. Thanks for inviting us.
All right. How's everybody doing today?
Very good. With so many voices, I just wanted everybody to have a chance to hear who we're talking to. I'd like to start out really defining what a pit bull is, because I think a lot of people are unclear as to what a pit bull actually is. And there are a lot of dogs maybe that are called pit bulls that aren't pit bulls. So who, Dara, Katie, one of you want to start?
Okay, well, they belong to the terrier group, and the terriers were designed to have certain characteristics, and some of the characteristics encompass, you know, being tenacious, fearless, intense, passionate. They were designed to, you know, hunt and kill vermin, and the American Pit Bull Terrier was designed by man to start having, I guess, game fights with the vermin, and then eventually turned into fighting dogs against dogs. That's a little bit about the history on the pit bull. Based on their intense nature, does not necessarily mean that they're going to be born vicious killers. In everything they do, they excel. So they are very good house pets. They're great in agility, obedience training, anything you put them through, they excel. They're great dogs.
Katie, you agree?
Yeah, we have found that a lot of times municipalities will use that pit bull term to encompass a lot of different breeds. Some municipalities that have breed-specific legislation will list out the types of dogs that they believe fall into that category. But it's usually around 13 or 14 different types of dogs or particular breeds of dogs, which can include, again, the American Pit Bull Terrier, American Staffordshire Terrier, American Bulldog, King Corso, Presa Canaria, Dojo Argentina, a number of different types of actual purebred breed dogs are lumped into this category of pit bull dogs that display particular characteristics: a large head, pointed ears, a large wide neck, just particular physical characteristics that are often really difficult to actually identify the breed of dog.
Dr. Hetz and Dr. Estep, anything you'd like to add?
No, I think she's right. There are a number of AKC labeled breeds that she mentioned that often get lumped into the term pit bull. And I know in some jurisdictions, like in Denver, which still has a pit bull ban in place, there are specific both behavioral and physical criteria that animal control officers use to identify or determine whether a dog is a pit bull. But in Denver's ordinance, they use those criteria, which are pretty general, and it kind of ends up that if an animal control officer determines that a dog is a pit bull, then it's a pit bull. And I don't know if that even can be reversed with DNA testing. Dan, do you know?
There was actually a very interesting case a couple of years ago where a guy had a citizen of Denver had his dog picked up, and they evaluated according to these physical characteristics, and it met the criteria as a pit bull. But the guy could prove he had breeding records to show that it was, in fact, a boxer cross. And it didn't do any good because the way the law was written, it was how the dog looked, not what the dog was.
Yeah, I'm just pulling up the Denver statutes, and it says, a pit bull for purposes of this chapter is defined as any dog that is an American Pit Bull Terrier, Amstaff, Staffordshire Bull Terrier, or any dog displaying the majority of physical traits of any one or more of the above breeds, or any dog exhibiting those distinguishing characteristics with which substantially conform to the standards set by the AKC, yada, yada. The way that it's defined in Denver.
Is this where some of the confusion lies, in that it's difficult to define a pit bull, and people that want to legislate against them or to ban them from certain areas, it's difficult to define?
Absolutely. A lot of the municipalities that simply state pit bulls as being banned, when you get a DNA test on your dog, it's not going to come back and say pit bull. It's going to come back and say Staffordshire Terrier, Bull Terrier, Boxer. It's going to come back with a actual registered or recognized breed. And so when the laws in a particular municipality have just pit bull, but then someone gets their dog DNA tested, it's those, that miscommunication or the language or semantics of it, that makes it difficult for someone in that particular situation in Denver to be able to challenge that law, because they're talking about specific physical characteristics when that person's trying to recognize or show proof that the DNA is saying boxer, but there, it still meets those same physical semantics in the language of the law, which is definitely where that divide comes in.
Yeah. But people are afraid of these dogs, and the recent incident in Cincinnati with a little girl who was injured make people afraid of, in this case, they define the dog as a pit bull. What do you say to that, and what should be done? I mean, people, I think, say they deserve a right. Some will say to be protected against a vicious dog. What rights do people have? What rights do dogs have?
They do have a right to be protected against a vicious dog, but the breed itself is not vicious. Again, it's ownership, mismanagement, misuse of the breed. It's really important to look at the function of a dog when you are analyzing dog bites. And a lot of people, I find, look at the damaging effects and they overlook the surrounding circumstances, and that's a shame, because the pit bull is also a victim in these types of situations, because they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't.
Explain what you mean by that. Give me an example.
Well, you know, under the misuse, you know, mismanagement, poor ownership, if they don't perform a certain way, they're reprimanded very severely by the owners. Sometimes they're even killed.
If they're not
performing aggressive work for them, okay? So, again, they're like between a rock and a hard place.
So are you saying that owners of pit bulls want them to be aggressive?
Particular owners.
Okay.
Particular owners. There are people that still do dog fighting. There are people that are drug dealers that want to protect their stash and money and premises. It's unfortunate that they misuse these animals, particularly the pit bull. The pit bull is known for its fighting capabilities, but there are other dogs out there that are known for fighting capabilities. If we ban the pit bull, okay, what we're doing is opening room for other dogs to be used in this way.
We're talking about pit bulls and discussion of bans and about the dogs in general and vicious dogs in general this afternoon on Cincinnati Edition. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you at 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. My guest today, you've just heard from certified professional dog trainer Dara Williams, also in the studio with me from the Cincinnati Pit Crew, co-founder of the Cincinnati Pit Crew, which is a pit bulldog education advocacy and rescue organization, Katie Blanton. And on the phone from Littleton, Colorado, Dr. Suzanne Hetz and Dr. Daniel Estep of Animal Behavior Associates. Again, our number is 513-419-7100. Dr. Hetz and Dr. Estep, if you would talk a little bit about the behavior that's inherent in particular breeds of dogs. Can you describe that at all?
Dan, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Go ahead.
Well, the way that I typically talk about it to my clients and when I'm lecturing is I think it's important to look at what a breed was bred to do, or breed type, if we want to expand it that way. Because for better or for worse, those behaviors will be the ones that are most easily elicited. Mm-hmm. For example, we have a field bred Irish setter. And she lives to point birds, mainly birds, but other small critters like rabbits and squirrels as well. That's what her breed was bred to do. And so those behaviors are part of who she is. So I think it's easy to acknowledge that there are breed differences with different types of behaviors, like retrieving ability, herding ability, scent work, those sorts of things. And there are also breed differences in terms of the thresholds with which aggression can be most easily elicited or if it's more difficult to elicit. That doesn't mean that any particular breed is inherently dangerous or predetermined to hurt people, but it's certainly something that people of any who own any breed who has some sort of protective or fighting or any sort of a aggressive function in their history needs to be aware of, and I think we need to acknowledge that there are differences in the threshold with which aggression can be elicited or differences in the tendency toward aggression among breeds, just like there are differences in other behavioral characteristics that people who own those sorts of breeds need to be well aware of and need to take the appropriate steps to compensate for, so to speak. Dan, you have additional things you want to say about that?
No, I think that covers it pretty well.
Katie, did you want to add anything there?
Well, I think something that, you know, we hear a lot people say is, oh, those dogs were bred to kill or they're naturally vicious against people. And I think that something that people often overlook is that, you know, pit bull dogs do have the reputation through media and news reports and various social aspects of media to be a status symbol. And also, you know, the whole concept of dog fighting, people tend to overlook that a dog that's bred to fight is not trained to be aggressive towards humans. And that a dog fighting dog that's aggressive towards human is not tolerated. That's and true. If that dog turns on its owner, it's immediately euthanized.
Do the dogs really see a difference? I mean, between attacking another dog versus another, not another human, but a human?
Yes.
Yeah, they definitely. And it's one of those things where, again, Dara was talking earlier about about pit bull dogs being good at what they do. That's what makes them, not only is that what makes them such great family pets, unfortunately, that's what also makes them such good fighters.
They're pleasers to a fault.
Right.
Yeah, you will.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So what do you recommend? You know, it seems that there are a lot of pit bulls in the shelters, in the animal rescue areas, those sorts of things. Why do you think it is that people tend to get the pit bulls and then take them to the shelters?
Well, also there's like, you know, homeowners insurance places, people move a lot, you know, they can't take their dogs with them. They don't know how to handle pit bull. Sometimes there's their first time owners of pit bull and then realize, oh my gosh, I have my hands full. And not that they are a difficult breed, but they are tenacious and they can be stubborn. And they are a lot of dog, and, it's a lifetime commitment of consistency and reliability from the human and the structure environment for them to progress in.
I think also they, you know, breeding of pit bull dogs has gotten out of control. And it's not, you know, people don't breed pit bull dogs the same way that people breed golden retrievers or, you know, black Labradors or other particular types of dogs. People will see a dog on the street and say, hey, your dog's pretty. My dog's not neutered. Is she spayed? Let's breed her, make some money. And what ends up happening is, I don't know, it's your experience, but pit bull dogs have huge litters. I mean, 12 and 13 and 14 dogs. And that can get way out of hand. And people get in over their heads. They can't sell them. So then they give them away to someone who says, oh, that dog's cute, I'll take it. And then 3 months later, they move, can't take their dog, and ends up in the shelter.
Mm-hmm. And there's also strays, producing with strays.
Mike's calling from Montgomery. Hi, Mike. What's your question?
Hi. I appreciate the comments earlier about the owners being the majority of the issue. When I was walking around the neighborhood of Price Hill a few weeks ago, I saw multiple owners with dogs on leashes. The dogs were up on their hind legs, rearing up, barking at anybody that came by. And it became readily apparent to me that that's the exact behavior that the owner wanted.
Yes.
To show everybody else, keep away from me. I may not have a gun, but I've got a live animal that'll hurt you. So I think people actually want this behavior. And so the resolution is not to deal with the dogs, but to deal with the owners.
What ways can the owners be dealt with?
I think one of the things that's most effective is stronger ordinances in existence that make it criminal to have a dog that behaves that way. A lot of the current legislation that's in place in a lot of places around the country is a reactive type ordinances. Dogs are not labeled as vicious or dangerous until they actually have a bite history. But there are a lot of other cities around the country that are starting to develop some language in their ordinances that speak directly to a dog that harms another human. It doesn't matter if it's the first time, if it's the fifth time. When it happens that first time, it's now criminal. When your dog hurts another human to the extent that it causes damage to the person or actually somebody else's property even. But I think part of it's education, you know, and enforcement of existing laws, which, there could be more of that, you know, leash laws. I see dogs walking down the street with people. There's some, I don't know what it is, if it's a status, but people like to be able to walk with their dog next to them off leash, but
yes.
That's dangerous.
Very.
And so, they do it all the time. So enforcing laws that are in existence and then creating laws that make it, you know, stiffer penalties for keeping a dog in as a resident dog and not a family pet.
Right. Dr. Hatz, did you want to add
a couple of thoughts on that? This is, Dr. Hatz. Colorado, a number of years ago, I think it was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, maybe longer, came up with a state dangerous dog law that applies statewide. And Colorado defines a dangerous dog as not only one that has inflicted bodily or serious body injury or caused a death, but has also demonstrated tendencies that would cause a reasonable person to believe that the dog may inflict injury upon or cause the death of another person or domestic animal. So that gets at that undercuts the so-called one bite idea that, according to your show's producer, he sent me an editorial in the newspaper where it appears that the definition of a dangerous dog in your community right now could stand some updating and some improvement. The other piece of that, as far as dealing with the owners, is our dogs were attacked back in 2009 by an off-leash American bulldog, and I actually broke my hand trying to get the dog to let go of my dog's neck, and it took two neighbors who literally pried the dog's jaws off of our dog's neck to make her let go. And we found out later after the attack that this dog had been out more than once of the yard. We didn't know that. Had attacked a couple of basset hounds in the neighborhood, and the woman whose dogs were attacked failed to report it to animal control. So I think that's another thing, is that the community needs to get involved, and if they see dogs like this who are displaying potentially dangerous dangerous propensities that way, or who have gotten out and hurt other people or other animals, there should be zero tolerance for that. There should be zero tolerance for people not obeying leash laws. And I think there should be a concerted effort as well among the pit bull fanciers, much like the Dalmatian Club of America did back when 101 Dalmatians came out in the 90s. Shelters were filling up with Dalmatians, and we've owned 3 Dalmatians. We had one at the time because people they wanted a Pongo and Perdita, and they were getting them not knowing what they were getting into owning a Dalmatian, and all these dogs were ending up in the shelters.
I'm going to go to I'm going to go to a phone call real quickly that I think has a similar question to this. Doug's calling from West Price Taylor. Hi, Doug.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm fine. You had a question for us related to the breeds?
Well, I don't think it's a question so much as it is a comment. Having been a dog owner and presently a cat owner, I think one of the things that people fail to realize, going into this. Dog ownership is a serious responsibility, and you need to understand something about the breed of the dog that you're attempting to purchase, get, whatever you want to call it. Cocker Spaniel can be as vicious as any pit bull can be if it's mishandled. And I think these are things that people rarely, if ever, truly appreciate.
Do you think that's true?
Absolutely. I definitely think that's true. Some people understand that when you do get a pet, that you're taking that onto your, into your family as a member of your family. And we get calls all the time from people or requests to, you know, people who are in a situation where their dog is displaying some particular behaviors that they're not sure how to deal with. And they say, well, this is our family member, so we're not going to give up on this dog. Can you point us in the right direction as far as training resources or some ideas on how to help us? And then on the other side of that, we also have people who say, you know, we got this dog and it's a lot to handle, and now we're having a baby and we have to get rid of the dog. And you kind of walk a fine line on how to talk to people about those situations. But it's a huge responsibility. And if you don't have an understanding of what the needs of your dog are, I mean, I think we can all say if you were to get, you know, a particular type of dog that requires a whole lot of exercise, and you lived in a 500 square foot apartment and worked 40 hours a week and never walked the dog, you'd be in trouble.
Very much so.
Doug, thanks so much for your comment. We appreciate it. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question. John's calling from Westwood. Hi, John.
Hello. I just want to say that people that fancy pit bulls and think that they're such a great dog are overlooking the facts that have been brought to the light, even recently locally. They are a difficult breed, as well as Dalmatians. I raised Dalmatians, and I've raised American Staffordshire Terriers and Pit Bulls, but they are a difficult dog to own, and I think it's naive to say they're not. And they don't just have some bad history for no reason. They've been fought, and they do commonly are involved in dog attacks.
Dara?
Well, I mean, they are an intense breed, and what you put in is what you're going to get out. And again, they should not be, you know, for a first-time owner, a dog owner, for sure. It really is to understand the breed, but also, again, what you put into the dog. And sometimes people advertently and inadvertently create aggression in any dog. But, you know, these dogs need a firm but fair hand. And they also need energy exertion. They need a structured life. They, you know, they're not for the sedentary. They're not for people that are not active in their lives. These are very active, agile dogs. They require certain needs. And they're just not for everyone. But I wouldn't say that they are difficult. I own two myself. I work with them all the time. I don't think they're difficult. My methods of training are the same, but my approach is different, and every dog has its own personality and characteristic, and that's how I approach the dog. They let me know what their needs are, and I work with them on their sensitivity levels. So
we go now to Dan from Over the Rhine. Hi, Dan. What's your question?
And I think it's just about the responsibility of dog ownership. I have a pit bull, I guess, if that's what you would call it, and we got her for $20 at the ASPCA, and it spent constant hours training, and like we've spent hundreds of dollars training her as well. And she like gets daily jogs, but I think if there was some policy where you had to have like 6 hours of like a seminar or something before you could actually just pay $20 for the dog, I think you would sort of get rid of this cavalier adoption policy that some people have. But, oh, this dog's cute, I'm going to take it home, and then 3 weeks.
Is there a difference when you adopt a dog as a puppy that maybe hasn't developed its personality yet versus, or its behaviors yet, versus a dog that's 2 or 3 or 4 years old?
Well, I work with dogs of all ages, puppies and, you know, older dogs, and it really does come down to the human environment. There's nature and then there's nurture. I've had people that have had puppies, you know, from when they're 6, 7 weeks old, and they come to me when the dog is 4 months to even a year old. My dog is a terror. He's crazy. I can't control him. He's nuts. He's bonkers. There's something wrong with my dog. And it's really the communication that has failed. The living premises in the human world has failed. It's our responsibility as their guardians from when they are taken from their mother and litters to continue to guide them in our world. And sometimes people give them too much freedom too soon, and that's just across the board with any dog. So I've seen some older dogs that are just awesome. Once they get a regimen going, there's a schedule, there's rules, regulations, boundaries, and limitations. They are awesome. And people just can't believe the change in their dogs just by changing the premises of living.
Dr. Hetz, Dr. Estep, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit misleading. Puppies go through a very significant developmental period from about 3 weeks of age until about 12 to 16 weeks of age that any professional dog trainer knows about. It's a sensitive period for socialization. And there are experiences that dogs can have or that puppy owners can give their dogs during that time period that can literally have a lifelong effect on the dog's behavior.
Definitely.
And so if you properly socialize and give any dog, but especially a breed that has a reputation for aggression, socialize him to people, to other dogs, and continue that socialization through the time the dog is a juvenile, it can make a huge difference in adult behavior as compared to getting a dog as a two-year-old, for example, when you don't know what that dog's history has been. It's a bit of a crapshoot, really, sometimes. And that's not to say that you can't adopt very good dogs, adult dogs from shelters and rescue groups, because you can. But there's a lot more unknown, I think, as the man who just called in was sort of alluding to. He probably wasn't aware of the dog's history, had no way of knowing. And so it's a whole bigger, bunch of unknowns that one takes on when adopting an adult dog as compared to being able to have that influence over that dog as a puppy.
Can I interject for 1 second?
In about 15 seconds, we're almost out of time.
Okay, I just wanted to say that it is a critical period in puppy development, but if an owner is not experienced and knows how to socialize a dog properly or eliminate behavioral problems, it can lead to the same issues as an adult dog being adopted. So that's what I'm talking about, but behavior modification and desensitization.
There's a lot more that we could talk about. We are out of time. I invite you to go to our website or our Facebook page to continue the discussion today or get more information. My guests have been co-founder of the Cincinnati Pit Crew, a pit bulldog education advocacy and rescue organization, Katie Blanton, certified professional dog trainer, Dara Williams, and Dr. Suzanne Hetz and Dr. Daniel Estep of Animal Behavior Associates in Littleton, Colorado. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier with help from Grace Caudry. Today's technical director was Rick Andres. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org.